You're about to enter the world of On the Cusp. The intense language used here requires that you put your brain in pause, place your watch next to the microwave, and experience a different level of mind diffusion. Now sit down, grab your coffee, buckle up, and enjoy what is about to happen and coming your way. What you are listening to is On the Cusp.
I guess we are recording now. The following podcast was paid for Carbon Energy Tax Corporation. Everyone, hello. Welcome to the podcast. We're back at it again. Today, we got a couple of things that are very interesting. One is going to be our interview of our own Mo Whitlock. We're going to know all kinds of stuff that he has not told us before. And the second part is we're going to go ahead and look into a couple of news about the dental field. So we're going to try to keep it dental as much as we can. We're not going to talk about Florida Man, and we're not going to talk about the news that Nancy wanted to bring to you from the New York Post. We're going to stay away from that today if we can. But if Nancy wants to talk about it, we will talk about it. So, Mo, how are you doing tonight?
What's up? What's going on? Nice intro, Ramon.
Thank you. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and get started then.
Let's do it.
Mo, when we travel, we talk a lot about a lot of things. But a lot of times, we don't talk about our families. We don't talk about where we come from. We don't talk about how do we get into this area. And so that's what we wanted to learn a little bit more about you.
Okay.
The first thing is, I know you were born in Missouri, I think.
St. Louis, Missouri, God's country.
There you go.
Born in St. Louis.
Can you share the year?
1972.
I wouldn't ask this of Nancy. You know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't ask her that. 1972?
50 years old. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're way younger than I am.
Yeah, you turned the big
I'm old as dirt. But I'm not going to say it today. So, Mo, you finished your high school also in St. Louis? Or because one of the things that I think you talked about is, I think you come from a military family, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I'm a military brat. So I lived in Missouri until I was five. Then we moved to California. So I lived in California, North Dakota, Kansas, England, all over.
Where'd you guys go in California? I never knew you lived in California.
Yeah, we went to March Air Force Base. We lived in San Bernardino, California.
Wow.
So you were in March Air Force Base. Where is March at?
Like Riverside, San Bernardino. It's like a reserve.
That's a nice area over there. And then you went overseas. How long were you overseas as a military brat?
4 years in England. Before that, I was in North Dakota, Grand Forks, North Dakota, which was fun as a kid.
Yeah.
It was not, I wouldn't want to go back, but it was fun being a kid there. So
what was the last base you were at when you
McConnell Air Force Base? Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, so that's where you finished your high school?
Yeah, Derby, Kansas, actually.
So what age was your age when you were in England?
I was in middle school.
Oh, okay.
In middle school.
That's good. Yeah, so you remember those years.
I remember, but I wish I would have been maybe a little older to appreciate it. Because I have some really cool pictures of like castles and, you know, all this other stuff. And at that time, it was baseball and girls, you know what I mean?
did you have tea time?
No, I did pick up a British accent. my relatives back home would, you know, my grandma used to tell my mom, "What'd you do to my baby? Why is he talking like this?" You know, so
what's wrong with him?
I definitely picked up a little British accent. I had British etiquette class. What was interesting was it was really small. So we had two classes of 12 people. So it was 24 in my entire grade in some old World War II barracks that they converted over to a school for the American kids on base. So.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool experience.
Yeah. So did people thought that you were stuck up when you came back to the U.S. because you spoke with a British accent?
No, not really. Sports helped me kind of, I don't know, fit back in when I came back. It was definitely a culture shock because it went from 24 military kids to, you know, I had 700-800 in my graduating class.
Wow.
I was the only black male. So in Kansas. So it was definitely a culture shock, to say the least.
Yeah.
To go from the sheltered comforts of a military brat on a military base to the real world, I guess.
Yeah.
So what made you say, you know what, how did you came to the decision? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and enlist in the military.
I'm not going to have no, you know, ultra patriotic story. I was having kids, man. I needed a job. So I was in college playing baseball. At this point, my wife and I, we had our second child. I was trying to balance work, school, baseball, work, then sometime, and then try to fit in family time. It just worked up. I knew the stability that I had growing up, and I wanted to provide that for my family. So
yeah,
worked out.
One of the things that I wanted to know is why did you choose the Air Force and not any of the other services?
Because I scored high enough.
they told you qualify for this.
Listen, look. All right, so everybody listening, we in the military, we all joke and clown each other, and the Army just constantly hates us, hates the Air Force. But seriously, one of the things really was in England, my dad played on the football team, and we used to go play a lot of different bases, and the Army bases were just trash. Like it seemed like there wasn't a balance of the total family concept. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then as a kid, even when I came back to the U.S., when we traveled to different bases, you can tell that I wouldn't need a sign. Just being on there, you would know if you're on an Air Force base or like an Army base. It
was a contrast. Quality,
night and day.
It was.
Just big. And that's, and Air Force is what I knew, you know, that's what I was comfortable with. And so, you know, I didn't even think of the other. I admire each one, what they do. You know, we clown everybody, we tease each other, different branches, but you know, that was, Air Force was for me.
It's so true. We were stationed at an Air Force base for like 3 months. We had to do some guard duty because you guys don't do guard duty, they told us. So we were all pissed off about that. And I mean, the mess hall or the chow hall, whatever they called it back then. Oh my gosh, what a difference.
Yeah.
It was a restaurant. It wasn't a mess hall. It was a restaurant that we went to while we were there. Holy cow.
And I knew that up front. So why would I pick the Army? You know what I mean? Plus my FFAP school, like, you know, it was good. It was okay. I did all right. So you
know. Why did you choose dental?
It sounded cool. So I was waiting. So here's the thing. I really wanted to be a physical therapist, and I had no excuse, but I listened to my recruiter because it was like, oh, don't worry. Just get in, pick one of these other good jobs. You scored really high. There's going to be some good jobs, and you can always cross train into physical therapy. And so I was like, all right, cool. So I went, and it was like dental lab. There was a linguist, a bunch of different linguist positions. All there was some really cool jobs, but I reached back, I talked to my dad, and he told me about some of the positions. He's like, oh yeah, linguist is really awesome. You know, you're going to be basically learning these different languages, but there's like two bases you can go to, you know, so it was, I had a little bit of intel talking to my dad.
Yeah.
And I saw dental lab and I was like, oh, sounds cool. And that really was what it was. I didn't have no dream. I didn't grow up in a lab. But it was a blessing because I absolutely love it. Love what
so
I do.
You so you really had no idea. You had no idea about dental. You didn't know what you were getting into.
No, not at all.
So first you went through basic training. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, basic training and then tech school. And my tech school is at Wichita Falls, Shepherd Air Force Base. And it was 7 months, man. It was
a long
school.
So dental technology was 7 months?
Like Army, right, for infantry, they just say, pull this trigger. And your school was like 3.5 days, right? Wasn't it 3.5 days?
You're right. Pull the trigger. How did you know that?
Dig a hole.
Walk into that landmine.
Climb out of it.
Shoot that way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do what I tell you.
Tech school was a Shepherd, 7 months. That was cool. Learned a lot.
When I went through my advanced training, which was 3 days, like you said.
3.5.
You went there.
Don't sell yourself short, Ramon. 3.5 days, man. A lot can happen in a half a day.
Yeah. So they treated us better. You know, they treat you like shit when you're in basic training.
Yeah.
And then when we graduated to AIT, they kind of treated us a little bit better. They were actually treating us like humans, but they didn't let us out
on the fourth day, you mean?
Of our immediate barracks area. We could go to the PX. Yeah. We could go to the base restaurant. We could go to the base McDonald's or Burger King. I think it was Burger King, but you couldn't get out of base.
Nah,
you guys, Air Force is a little different. Were you guys able to get out after work?
Basic was tough.
Right. It was tough.
Yeah, that's 6 weeks.
Tech school was basic was like being in jail. Tech school was like, okay, now you're on this college campus.
There you go.
Don't mess up. Mm-hmm. It was wild. Yep. Tech school was wild. It was basically college.
Okay. You know? So it was easier than with us. And when you were going through the school, how many people were going through it with you?
Oh, man. I think I had maybe 15 in my class. 15.
Okay. 15 to 20 were the sizes, right? Something like that. Yeah. Depends.
We didn't have 900 saying point this weapon. You know, it was a lot of stuff we had to learn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So when you went in, was Nancy ahead of you or you were ahead of Nancy?
Was she ahead of me?
What year did you go into into the military?
I was before.
Yeah. Oh, before.
You know I was. Man. What are you asking?
You know what? What are you talking about?
Like,
man?
Why do you gotta talk? What? Why do you gotta ask that? We're talking about Mo. Okay, keep it about Mo.
But did you guys know each other in the military?
No, actually, no.
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 We know people. You know, what's interesting is we know the same people. Same people were stationed with me and stationed with him, but we didn't know each other in the military. We met out. He was still in the military when I met him, but I was already, I had already gotten out.
Yep.
So you guys know each other through Suprina?
No.
No.
No. We both.
No.
No, it was when I was running the lab at McDill, and Nancy was working for this one company. It was another two-letter company, you know. That's where we first met.
A two-letter company?
GC, Ramon. Oh, come on.
GC.
What are you? How much whiskey did you drink already? Did you pregame the pregame? Like, what?
Okay, so that's how you guys met. I got it.
Yeah.
Yep. But we knew all of these people.
All the same.
It just so happens,
yeah.
All the same people.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bob.
Bob Suprina.
We actually, and that's what you mean about that small world, you know what I mean? Because Bob was my supervisor in Hawaii. And I was there with Sid Dwyer. So we just, you know, we just know a lot of the same people. You know how it's small. Mm-hmm. Dental is small. You know, our whole group is like your basic training, like, group. The lab techs in the Air Force was about anywhere from 300 to 400, you know, fluctuate. Mm-hmm. Total number.
When you met Bob Soprina, was he a sergeant already?
Yeah.
Did he call you private? Come here, private.
No, we weren't privates in the Air Force.
So what did you go in as?
Airmen. We were airmen.
Oh, airmen. Oh.
Airmen. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you consider you can so what? Go ahead, Nancy.
No, I'm just wondering how much you. What are you drinking first? Let's back it up. Put on the camera.
That's a quarter horse. I'm drinking my quarter horse.
That's a half a horse.
My old fashioned.
Okay. Mm. All right.
But you know what? This time is stronger. I don't know why. But look, the weekend just started, and I needed to relax a little bit. So
I get you. I hear you.
I've been stuck in the house all the time, man.
You come a long way from, you know, any drink tasted like gasoline to you. So now that you're at this point, man, you come a long way.
Yeah. You got to go through basic training on your own. Nobody can go with you. Then you got to go to tech school. So where is the family in all of this? Are they away from you or can they come with you?
They're in Kansas. Well, see, our tech school is so long, you can bring them down. So my family came down halfway through school.
Got it. Which one was the best base for you
Hickam.
When you were there?
Hickam. Yeah.
Hickam is in what state?
Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were you there too, Nancy?
So...
No, I've been, but I was never stationed. Oh, okay.
I actually was lucky enough to be stationed at two of the bases I dreamed of going to, Hickam, and then retiring at MacDill. I could not have asked for a better last two bases, you mm-hmm. know, for multiple reasons, and in that order, you know what I mean, to retire.
Yeah,
we love Tampa, you know. So it's but Hickam was amazing.
Basically. You retire in MacDill. You stayed in. You didn't stay in MacDill. You stayed in Tampa.
Yeah.
But before that, in Hickam, how many years were you there? How many years were you guys stationed there?
5 years.
Five.
Yeah, I would have stayed longer too, but my daughter was. She would have had to start her senior year at a new base, a new area. Without we were guaranteed we had to leave at a certain time, and that would have been right at her senior year. We just didn't want to do that. So
you wanted her to start her senior year in Tampa?
No, we didn't want her to start her year. We didn't want her to have to start her senior year somewhere.
Oh, so you stayed an extra year for her.
Exactly. If we would have stayed, we would have had to leave at the end of her junior year. She'd start her senior year somewhere else.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why we didn't stay longer. But it worked out. I mean, it worked out. So, and the cool thing about it was she was able to finish her whole high school, all her friends from her freshman year all the way through her senior year. It was Tampa. I mean, everything just worked. It just worked out.
Yeah.
So.
Is that the reason why you ended up in MacDill? Because you delayed without knowing, you delayed a year, and then you got lucky you ended up in MacDill?
It was pure fate, luck, blessing, whatever you want to call it. I was the only person, because it was a weird cycle back because I extended, but it was a weird rotation. I was the only person coming back from the PACAF, Pacific Air.
Mm-hmm.
So I was coming to whatever was open. There was no, you know, usually if there's like five people coming back, there's five bases and you get to rack and stack the order that you want. Yeah. I knew was literally whatever popped up on that screen when the assignments dropped was where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I won MacDill, and that's what came up.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, Hickam and MacDill back to back is
that's really good.
Well, you retired, then you retire from the Air Force. What was your rank when you retired?
Master Sergeant.
And for the civilians, what does that mean?
What does it mean? It's usually a management position. Usually you're managing something when you're at a master sergeant level.
How many people were you managing?
Anywhere from, as lab techs, it would be anywhere from, you know, 4 or 5 to 7, just depending on how many we had at the time. I think we had 7 at the most at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The other main part, you know, in the military, you got 15 different jobs. So my most time-consuming outside of dental was I was responsible for the security team for the hospital.
Oh.
So I had like 80, it would be about 80 to 90 people that I had to be responsible for to make sure their training was up to date, make sure they knew what to do when we had any type of exercise or anything like that. So,
you know what? That's one thing that I just thought about it. That's one thing that they do not differentiate like out here in the world, right? You have Veterans Day, but they bundle everybody up, retirees with veterans. So you could serve in the military for 3 days, get hurt. They take you out. You become a veteran immediately.
Yeah.
But that doesn't differentiate from someone that puts in 20, 22 years, 27 years.
No, I don't. It makes no difference when you, regardless of the
reasons. Once you make that commitment.
Yeah, regardless of the reasons why you serve, you're putting it out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you still have to commit and go through that process. Yeah. So it's still.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. My 21 years was nothing compared to a combat controller's 21 years or somebody jumping out of an airplane or out of a heli. It's a different, you know what I mean?
It's a different responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah, I served. I did whatever, you know, was asked of me. And but it's different. You know, even I would say, you know, 4 years of someone getting shot at versus me complaining about margins is a little different, you know?
Can I get more room?
I don't have enough space. I can't give you.
I don't have enough space. Yeah. Can I?
Somebody else is dodging bullets, you know? So different.
I don't know if I should go into this because.
No.
We. Okay. Then let's
probably
not.
You probably shouldn't.
hit me in the chat first, man. Come on. The fact that you're saying I don't know if I should say this lets me know we don't need to say it. That's all I'm saying.
Did you say we weren't going to talk about Florida Man?
No, not tonight. We want to keep it kind of like on topic with Mo. So when you were with Amon Gearbuck for one day, but
yes.
Cap picked you up right away because they knew of you. They wanted to work with you. And you started working with Cap for, I think, 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So how was the integration? I don't know if people remember, but I think Cap was like a unicorn because they were doing something completely different that nobody was thinking about. Yeah. And they were thinking outside the box completely. So it was really a unicorn at that time.
I'm glad you asked that question. So we'll skip the whole one day thing. I'll tell you about one thing, and it's so I think back of all the mistakes I've made and also the decisions that I've made that are ended up being positive and negative. You know what I mean? But one of the things I go back to, and I still remember the moment after all that stuff went down at AG originally. And I was asked, hey, we're not sure what we want to do with you. There's this company that's going to be exclusive distributor for us. Are you willing to kind of hang out here until we figure out what's going on? Part of me wanted to be like, you know what? Screw you guys. Give me my ticket. I'm going back home. You know what I mean? But then the other side of me, which I'm so glad that's the side I listened to that particular time. I was like, you know what? No, I'll stay. You know, but my thing was, okay, I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna learn as much as I can before I gotta go about this company, about this whole, you know, more cat different version of CAD/CAM that I was used to.
Yeah.
So I was like, I use it as a motivator. Like, you know what, I'm gonna put in the time as long as I'm here at this facility to learn everything. Basically, you know, to be honest, basically, I was like, I'm gonna know your system before I get out of here. So that was the goal. I had like 3 weeks. I want to thank Klaus because, you know, Klaus let me roam back there in the warehouse while he was repairing stuff. And so I got a early start on repairing these machines. I literally, it was like a corny movie because I was literally in that training room, timing myself, designing, learning every tool. So by the time the 3 weeks are up there, I felt comfortable with the system. You know what I mean? In that little training room where all and it was to lead in the cap when you said unicorn. It's funny. The funny story when I went up to interview, I interviewed with like six or seven people. And I thought, this is the weirdest thing. You know what I mean? I it was like I talked with Ryan Knight, you know, and he was running the tech support department. And, you know, everything went great. Everything's cool. I was like, man, I love the vibe of this place. And he's like, okay, we got other people that want to interview. And I was like, what? And so different sections of the building, I'm talking to people who aren't even in the CAD camp section that I'm going to be doing. But they were all interviewing. You know what I mean? And I was just like, and at first it was so weird. But then when I started working with them and started working with that team, I totally got, it was like, man, that was, it made sense of why they were so good. Was it was like they, it had, like I had to basically, it was a family, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to meet all the family members. So,
yeah.
So even though you meet mom and dad, you had to meet the cousin, you had to meet the sister, you had to meet the nephew.
Yeah.
And it was important. And it was so cool going back and seeing why, you know, that went down like that. And then you see other people. So it was kind of funny whenever I was up there and somebody new would get interviewed, I just kind of chuckle because I'm looking and I'm watching them wander around the different sections and feeling the same things I did. But it really, like Rob Nazal, man, I'll tell you what, that guy, man, he was,
figured it out.
He was awesome. That dude was incredible. From the first time I met him till the time I left that company.
Yeah.
He was awesome. So, but it just showed how important here's the thing. Sorry, not to run. I know I'm rambling. I don't know how much time we got. The importance of taking care of the customer, that stuck with me to this day. You know what I mean? It is taking care of the customer. And if we lose sight of that, is when we start, that's when stuff starts falling away. Cause it just so important. So important. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We had that conversation last time with Johnny. You have to take care of them because they're feeding you at the end of the day, you know, and it's the equipment and it's the consumables and it's everything. And you have to take care of them. You take care of them, they'll reciprocate. Yeah. And they give you more than what you ask also. Continuing with the interview. One more thing, Mo. The travel that you do. Did you guys travel just as much in the military as you do today? I know it's not the same, but did you also have to travel over there? Or go to your base, you're there, and that's it for you guys?
Not at all.
There's some TDY. You know, do TDY. You did courses.
I've traveled more in a month than probably years. In the military, you travel once to Colorado for our ADL workshop every year. That's the Air Force's Chicago Lab Day is the ADL workshop. But really, not even remotely close.
Okay.
Not even close.
There used to be a trade show in Colorado once a year.
That's the one he's talking
ADL
about.
ADL workshop. Yeah, Colorado Springs. ADL workshop.
I only went there one time. And then they canceled that.
Yeah, they stopped having them. I think they're trying to start something up again, but That was our Chicago Lab Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nancy, that's basically our show today. I think that is it.
And that went by fast. I didn't even.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to, you didn't get to my long walks on the beach and like the, you know.
You didn't ask him any inappropriate questions. Or
I know.
Like
go ahead.
We still got time.
We got 13 minutes, man. What's up? Go ahead, shoot.
Let's talk about that article that you sent me, Mo. Where's that article at?
Let's tell the truth. Let's tell the truth. I got the email. Let's tell the truth. Article I sent.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to leave this this night as a special night for Mo because that is the interview. That is the show. Tonight is Mo. That's it. Let's leave it at that. It's actually bad. It's 30 minutes. Let's start again. So Mo.
Yeah.
Nancy wants to talk about it now, but we're not going to. The interview.
Which one?
The article.
The appendicitis.
To our listeners out there, we have some articles that we want to share with you, but we can't.
Stop saying we. You know that's you, man. Not the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, we's
a lot of people.
I'm not the one begging to read it without not saying it.
Did you, by the way, did you know that there's a series, a new series that's starting this year on, it's called Florida Man.
No.
It's going to be, have you seen that new app? It's called Freebie. That used to be the IMD.
Oh, yes, I watched that. I'm watching Mad Men right now at Freebie.
Thank you for changing the subject, Nancy.
You guys are acting like I'm the evil person here, and you guys are innocent. And so you keep bringing it back.
See, instead of on the cusp, we're down in the fissures, man. We're down in the fissures. Yeah. Man. We're not on the cusp right now. You're trying to get down in the fissures. Yeah.
No, this is bad. This is very bad.
Down in the groove. We are not on the cusp.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to go ahead and listen to or watch Florida Man on Freebie. Is that what it is, Nancy?
Yes. Yes. It's this year, 2023. It doesn't have the month. But there's already 9 episodes. And it's the same writer that created, I don't know if you ever saw Samantha Who, or what was the other show? I'm trying to remember now. What was the other one that he did? There were 2 shows that he did that he actually won awards. He was nominated for 2 awards for each show, and he won it. So, I mean, it's got to be good. I mean, I imagine it's going to be good. So, I don't know who the actors are. I looked at the names, and they don't mean anything to me. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine what that's going to be
some
like.
Good stuff on there. And you know it's coming out of Pasco County.
We go back to Pasco.
I'm sure lots of it will come Pasco from there. Lots County. Of it.
All the Florida counties start with a P. Pinellas. Pasco. I know you got. I've been there long enough in Florida. I say it the Floridian way. Pinellas. Oh, before we go, we got to do a little promo for the 2-letter company. You got, you know, you remember this time, Ramon?
AG.
When's our party? Is it Thursday?
You guys tell me.
The cocktail party is Thursday.
Okay, Thursday.
Thursday, ballroom C and D.
Okay, cool. And then everybody, just I hope you guys all have safe travels into Chicago. Don't get too wild. Don't hang around Ramon, you know, unless you want to get.
No.
I'm not getting there till Thursday night.
In trouble.
Oh, Thursday night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thursday at 4:30.
Well.
Thursday evening,
it'll be nice
not
seeing
night.
Everybody again. Yeah.
Yes. It'll be nice. I'm hoping. We've talked to a lot of people. I don't know if because it's an IDS year, maybe attendance might be low, but I'm hoping that. I'm hoping people will be ready to.
A lot of the hotels are sold out. Even the auxiliary ones are sold out too. So I think, normally it is down on the IDS, but maybe since it's been so slow the last couple of years, folks are ready to, you know, come back.
Out there.
We'll see.
Yes.
But it'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
So, Mo, go ahead. Advertise for GC. You were going to say something.
AG.
Oh, AG. You said the 2-letter word.
I just did. Like, I told you about the ballroom.
I'm waiting for something for GC, and you're like.
We got a lot of great demos. We got a lot of cool people in there. We got a lot of folks coming from Germany and Austria that we have worked with for years. I'm excited to see all them again. But if you guys want to come by, we got the big ballroom in there. We're going to have some fun.
Cocktail hour.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun at cocktail hour. We're going to go over some equipment, materials, all kinds of stuff. So
the cocktail hour is on Thursday night. At what time?
Thursday night.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, after 7? 5.
Oh, no. You know what?
It usually starts around 5.
It's like 5. 5 yeah. O'clock ball.
Yeah.
And AG's known for our cocktail party. So y'all, everybody show up. We'll have a good time. Yeah.
It should be fun.
Well, you might want to save me a beer then, because I'm not going to get there till 6 probably with the traffic.
Here we go.
From the airport.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm serious. My flight lands at 4:30. I think it's 4:30.
You going to go to the piano bar with us?
If you guys invite me, yes.
I'm so glad we're doing this because listen, I messed up last year and totally forgot to invite Edwin.
He's telling me all these stories, and he's like, "Man, did you see this?"
Nancy,
remember this?
And I got Nancy.
What are you talking about?
I think your battery is running out, Nancy.
No, barely. So listen.
Oh, is it?
Listen. So I did forget. I apologize. Nancy, Edwin, I'm so sorry. I was talking smack about that place, but and literally remembered as I was, because Nancy's like, no, I didn't know. I didn't get there. And I was like, and Ramon, I'm going to do this because we got to do this. Anybody knows Ramon, you invite him to anything, he's going to say no, he's busy, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. Then when everybody talks about the next day, he goes, well, I wasn't invited. So Ramon, I would like to cordially invite you. And anybody, and the other 32 and a half people listening right now, Saturday night, we are going to the Redhead Piano Bar. Don't judge the name thinking it's a piano bar. It's not like Frank Sinatra. Imagine karaoke with talented people singing and playing the piano, because those are the ones that are hired there. You combine that karaoke, the talent, and an Irish pub. Imagine what you mix those three, and that's this place. So they're not paying me. It's a great time. Hope to see you guys there.
But isn't Breakdown on Saturday night?
This is Ramon. It's Chicago, man. You're not listening to me.
Okay.
Right.
It's right after.
Okay.
This ain't 6 o'clock bingo. All right. This is, you know, Chicago. We're all gonna meet there. We did it last year. I mean, never mind. I'm gonna shut up.
Yeah. Let's leave it there.
I'm okay, putting that in good. Everybody. So
okay.
Good time.
I think we're good to go then, Mo, Nancy.
All right.
One more thing for everybody. I gave Nancy the coins on the cusp challenge coins.
Oh yeah,
have you seen them all?
Yeah,
I haven't seen them
physically, but I saw the pictures you sent.
Yeah, so maybe you should bring some to Chicago so we can give away to some of the people that are telling us, "Hey, I listened to
whoever
the cusp,"
mentions whoever,
and we give them one.
Exactly.
You know.
Okay.
Let's do that.
We say I'm sorry. Here you go.
Yeah. If they don't say, sure. Yeah, listen to the cusp. Yeah, you're not getting anything then, huh?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Well, guys, until next time.
All
thank
right.
you for everything. Mo, great interview Hello. With you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Yep.
Like, we're going to give
Thank
all of our
serving.
Interviewees, they all get a coin. You're going to get a coin from us.
Oh, I get a coin? Yes.
Yeah. There you go. See, Nancy, he's still drinking from the same bottle. It's the same bottle from last time.
I don't drink anymore. Like literally, you've seen this. This is it. I don't know.
I haven't
good
had
for you.
In a while.
Let's keep it like that. Okay, guys, have a good night, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Yeah.